Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pressure on the inside by the 49ers.
With protection wide open is Donald and Driver. And he pitches it all, gets away, and is into the end zone. A touchdown for Driver.
Some great memories there from Packers 49ers in the past. There's not a ton of them out there always, but that Donald Driver play against the 49ers was certainly one of them. Welcome back to the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Andrew Brandt is going to be joining them today, former Packers VP. He'll be on with Mitch at 10:20 AM today. Deadline spur action. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit of that from Andrew. Green Bay plays host to the 49ers this Sunday afternoon at 3:25. After the game goes final, make the switch to the Green Bay Football postgame show driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer right here on The Fan. But right now I am joined by the great Sam Munson. You can find him on the 33rd Team and the new Check the Mic podcast, which I've had the opportunity to check out and is absolutely fantastic. You can find him on social media at Sam Munson NFL. Sam, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. I cannot thank you enough. I appreciate it a ton. I have to start off by asking, there was a lot of conjecture conversation on social media last night about snow games. Are you on the right side of history, loving the outdoor snow games, or are you on the wrong side and wanting domes for everything?
Oh, I'm team snow game all day long. It's just better. I mean, that's football the way God intended it to be. Ugly conditions, snow makes everything look better. Like, whether it's football, whether it's just, you know, scenery, landscape, your street, snow look makes it look better. And sometimes it makes the actual quality of the football a little bit worse, but that wasn't even the case last night. The game was good, even though there was snow and the conditions were tricky. So the idea that anybody could be watching that game, anybody other than people sitting in the stands, could be watching that game and thinking, you know what, this would be better if it was in a dome and it was 65 degrees and it was this sanitized environment, is insane to me.
No, I totally agree. The only thing that, you know, when it really is if it's like insanely windy and you can't do anything, like you can't throw the ball, you can't kick the ball, you can't do anything. If it's that, it's a little bit different. But for me, yeah, the snow game is beyond perfect. And either way, I love conditioned football. You get what, like a handful of them each year. And so you take it, right? Like it's always amazing just to kind of see, like you said, the backdrop, the scenery and how they handle the conditions. And I'm 1,000,000% all in. And I think that's just in our DNA here in Green Bay. Speaking of the Packers, the 2024 Packers have been an interesting story so far. They're 7-3 on the season. They're 4-0 against the not exactly stellar AFC South. They've struggled a little bit more in the NFC North, although they did pick up a win right at the end against Chicago this past week. Sam, kind of from the outside looking in, what are your impressions so far of the 2024 Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think they're one of a number of teams that are kind of in that second tier where they're clearly good. We don't know quite how good they are and if they can really contend at the sharp end of the season in January against the teams that we think are really good, you know? And that's, I think, there's a lot of those teams in this year's NFL where they're kind of jockeying for position. And we saw one last night with Pittsburgh. They dropped the game. I think the Packers are kind of where we expected them to be, albeit without necessarily some of the components that we were expecting to be exactly where maybe we thought. You know, I don't think Jordan Love has exactly picked up where he left off last year. So there's some question marks to this team, but they're very well-rounded. They're good almost everywhere. There's very few holes on this roster, and they're clearly one of the better coach teams in the NFL. Even just the job that Matt LaFleur did with Malik Willis at quarterback for a couple of games, and that's a huge thing in today's NFL. There's always this debate, how important is coaching versus just the talent on the roster? I mean, I think Matt LaFleur has already demonstrated repeatedly, not just this year, but in his career, the power and the impact of good coaching.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought, you know, that stretch with Malik Willis and even the game against Jacksonville where Malik Willis had to come in midway through the game and it's not like they prepared for him in that situation, just to be able to sort of adjust on the fly and put him in a position to be successful, I thought was really, really impressive. I want to go back to Jordan Love though for a moment. He of course gets that massive contract in the offseason at the time, making him the highest paid player in NFL history. Of course, Dak Prescott has gone over that since then, but it's really tough, I think, to evaluate sort of Jordan because of some of the injury stuff, but he's always going to be evaluated, not just of how he's playing as a quarterback, but also in comparison to him being, again, I think the second highest paid player in the NFL right now. How do you evaluate Jordan through the first half of the season and, you know, especially in comparison to the massive contract that they gave him?
Yeah, so I think when you look at his career now, you can almost kind of divide it into thirds. There was the first half of last year where he kind of looked like the college player. He was inconsistent. There were big plays in there. But there was highs and lows. It was kind of a roller coaster, and the baseline in terms of accuracy and ball location wasn't particularly high. And then somewhere around mid-season, it was like a switch flipped, and suddenly he's absolutely dialed in. He's laser accurate. He's making all those big plays still. He's not making as many mistakes. And honestly, he was arguably the best quarterback in football for sort of the second half of the season into the playoffs. And I would say this year, we've kind of split the difference. You know, we haven't picked up exactly where he left off. He hasn't looked like the best quarterback in the NFL, but his baseline is way higher than it was for the first half of last season. The accuracy is better. He's not missing as many throws, but he's not making quite as many big throws as last year. It's sort of splitting the difference between those two extremes. And you're right, maybe it's a little bit...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Appreciated or artificially down from where he should be once he gets 100% healthy. But right now, I think we're sort of in the middle of those two extremes.
I think it's almost like the Packers as a whole as well. It's interesting as you try to compare it to last season, because to your point, if you're comparing the first half of this season to the first half of last season and just sort of year over year, you're looking like, man, they look so much better in the first half of this season than they did at the first half of last season. But if you compare it to the second half of last season, hoping they were going to pick up kind of where they left off, both Jordan and the Packers as a whole, not exactly where they were in the second half of last season. So it's sort of like you said, kind of splitting the difference between the two. One of the big changes in transactions, I guess, if you will, that the Packers made in the offseason was actually on the coaching side, bringing in Jeff Hafley to be the defensive coordinator for this defense. It was a massive move. Obviously, they went through Mike Pettine, they went through Joe Barry, and now they get to Jeff Hafley to run this defense. One, what were your expectations for Hafley coming into the season? And two, how has it gone through the first 10 games for Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I talked about this last season, that sometimes there's immense power in just making a change when the unit is struggling particularly badly, and it doesn't really matter what the change is. Just making a shift of some kind can make a huge difference to a team. So I think making a change was significant, and then we get to see what the new coach can add on top of that. And I think both things have worked in Green Bay's favor. Obviously, the defense is much better than it was a year ago. I think Hafley's done some good work as well. And I think it's a good unit right now. It's gone from a struggling team, particularly in situations, to now it's a good defense overall. It's very good in a couple of areas, and it's situationally a lot better than it was a year ago. So I think overall, you know, pretty much every aspect of that move has worked really well in their favor. And obviously, there's been personnel moves as well. You know, guys like Xavier McKinney coming over in free agency have obviously made a huge impact as well with his 6 interceptions. So across the board, I think that defense has been vastly improved from last year.
Yeah, I think the move was necessary, and it certainly has paid dividends so far, and hopefully it can continue to get better in the second half of this season. We're being joined by Sam Munson, 33rd team, and the Check the Mic podcast. Again, you can find him on social media at Sam Munson NFL. I want to talk, you kind of mentioned Green Bay kind of being in that second tier of teams, which I completely agree with. On that first tier of teams is, of course, the Detroit Lions just happen to reside in the NFC North with Green Bay. Of course, Minnesota, you know, no slouch either in that number 2 seed in the NFC North. But I want to talk about the Lions in particular. Like, is there a world in which Green Bay or really any other team in the NFC right now can slow down Detroit? They look like an absolute juggernaut. And how can the Packers and the rest of this league sort of look to attack the Lions in the second half of the season? Because they look like they are on a runaway train right now to being the team that represents the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they do. They look really good. There's always a way. I mean, Jared Goff is capable of scintillating games where he plays as well as any quarterback in the NFL. He's also capable of really bad games. And we're almost reaching the stage now where I think it requires a bad Goff game for them to drop a game against you know, a different team, because they're so well-rounded, they're so powerful. But he's had those. I mean, he started the season not particularly good. His first couple of weeks, after week 2, we were sort of saying, you know, okay, they were doing okay as a team, but Jared Goff hadn't played well yet, and maybe that's the thing that's going to hold them back. And then he went on this crazy run, obviously the Houston game with 5 interceptions. So, you know, if he has a game like that, any team is capable of just winning the turnover battle by enough that it offsets how good Detroit is. And also, I think that defense is exploitable. It's the weaker side of the ball for them. Aiden Hutchinson being down at least until the Super Bowl, if they make it that far, it's a huge loss for them. I mean, he was a runaway defensive player of the year, caliber player, albeit beating up against some backup offensive tackles for most of the season. The Darius Smith coming over will help to mitigate that to a degree, but he doesn't replace Aiden Hutchinson at the level he was at. So, you know, the secondary can be attacked. The defensive front doesn't bring the kind of pressure that it brought earlier in the season. Now, Alex Anzalone, the linebacker, is down with a broken forearm for a while. So I think their defense can definitely be exploited, and you can put up some points against them, and then you just might be at the mercy of needing Jared Goff to have a rough day, because otherwise, you know, if he's playing well, that offense is devastating. The line is good. The two-headed monster in the backfield is good and explosive. Their receiving options are incredible. You know, if everybody's there and playing well, it's really hard to stop that offense.
Yeah, for Detroit this season, it's almost been a prerequisite to stay in the game to get a Jared Goff turnover, because you look at it, the Vikings were the only team that hung in a game with them that did not include a Jared Goff turnover. Their only loss against Tampa Bay included two Jared Goff turnovers in that game. The game against the Rams that went to overtime had a Jared Goff interception. The Cardinals, the Lions only won by 7, only scored 20 points in that game, Jared Goff interception. And of course, like you said, the Texans game, which Houston should have won, included 5 Jared Goff interceptions. But I think that's the crazy part is, like, even when he is having a 5 interception game against a pretty darn good team in Houston, they can still find a way to pick up that win. They've been on an absolute tear, and it's going to, I think, take some, some team getting some Jared Goff turnovers and maybe getting just a little bit lucky on their side of the ball as well, because they're playing as well as any team in the league. I think it'll be very tough to beat. Speaking of injuries, I do want to start transitioning over to this Packers 49ers game. Jair Alexander, we learned yesterday, has a partially torn PCL. Edgerrin Cooper not practicing again. I think those are going to be two key injuries for Green Bay. On the flip side, San Francisco, Trent Williams and Nick Bosa both not practicing, and Brock Purdy banged up. And of course, we know all the guys like Brandon Ayuk who are on IR as well. How do you see the injuries affecting this game, which should be a very entertaining game if everything goes according to plan between the Packers and the 49ers?
Yeah, some very significant players that are question marks. Honestly, I think Nick Bosa is the biggest potential absence from either side. Of the guys that are kind of new injuries. The 49ers defensive front, their pass rush, it's good, but heading into the year, you know, you're sort of thinking about where to rank them relative to other really good pass rushes. It was all based off basically two guys. Nick Bosa is a defensive player of the year candidate in any given year, and then Javon Hargrave is one of the best interior pass rushers in football. Hargrave's already gone, and if Nick Bosa's gone, suddenly Leonard Floyd is leading the line as your top pass rusher, and that takes you all the way from one of the best pass rushes in football to one of the worst. So Nick Bosa not being in there, I mean, we saw last week their game, basically their defense completely changed the second Nick Bosa went out of that game. They went from, you know, winning up front, dominating, not allowing touchdowns, to suddenly it was just enough to let the other team actually have some success, actually be able to move the ball and score. So Nick Bosa not being in there, I think, genuinely transforms that defense for them and is going to be a problem, because Green Bay have the ability to win across the board. They can run the ball. They can spread the ball out in the passing game through to any of their receivers. It just becomes so much harder for San Francisco to stop that offense if they don't have Nick Bosa in the lineup.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, just the injuries in general, I think Jair is going to make things easier for the 49ers. If Bosa's out, I think it's going to make things easier for the Packers. Both these teams have the ability to move the ball inside the 20s. I think, again, as we kind of talked about in the first segment, I think red zone offense is going to be key, something that uncharacteristically both of these teams are struggling with at a high level so far this season. Speaking of that, you know, outside of maybe red zone offense, what do you see as kind of some of the keys to this game, and who could ultimately come on top and try to pick up a huge win?
Yeah, well, as I said, I think Bosa is going to be a huge part, whether that completely changes how much Green Bay are able to have success on offense. I think the other thing is there's been this trend of the 49ers offense struggling a little bit where they're usually great. You know, Kyle Shanahan's offense has been the best in the league for a few years at ensuring the first read essentially is always open. You know, you do play action, Brock Purdy looks up, and look, there's George Kittle or Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, and they're wide open. Nobody's covering that crossing route, that deep over, whatever it is. They've struggled at that this season relative to previous years. And all of a sudden, Brock Purdy is skewing late in the down, scrambling, trying to make plays on the run. And he's good at that. That's his strength. But you just don't want to live in that world as an offense, because it's inherently higher risk, lower percentage, more difficult to execute time after time after time. So if this defense in Green Bay can continue that trend and, you know, make it difficult, make it muddy for the 49ers with their initial called design play, that's where they can have real success and slow down this offense.
Do you have a prediction in this one of which way this one could go?
Yeah, I think if the 49ers don't have Bosa, I think they're going to really struggle to get a win. I kind of like Green Bay to get that victory.
Yeah, all right. We're joined by Sam Munson again, 33rd team and Check the Mic podcast. All right, I have to ask you, Sam, before I let you go. Do you have your Daniel Whalen jersey yet? And how obviously insanely proud are you of the Irishman Daniel Whalen being arguably the greatest punter of all time?
I don't have the jersey yet. It's not just Daniel. There's a whole bunch of Irish guys now sort of heading into the NFL. It's amazing. There's a guy called Tyg Leader who was a former rugby player. He tried to make the transition to be an NFL player, didn't quite make it. I think it was in the UFL or the XFL. I forget which one of those spring leagues he was in for a bit. And then he kind of realized it wasn't going to happen for him and decided he was going to set up a coaching clinic, like a pathway system for all these rugby and Gaelic games players to start kicking and make a transition, because kicking is in all of the Irish sports. It's a natural part of our game. So suddenly you've got Daniel, you've got Jude up with the Giants, Charlie Smith and the New Orleans Saints practice squad. There's this massive influx of Irish players now trying to make it as NFL kickers, and they look like they've got a real shot to not just make it, but be really good players like Whelan.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. I was hoping for a bit there when the Packers were struggling at kicker that they were going to go get Charlie Smith and they could have both Smith and Whelan, and just the Irish connection and the special teams unit there would have been fun to see. But Sam, I cannot thank you enough for your time. Tell us all about the Check the Mic podcast and everything that you're doing over with the 33rd team.
Yeah, well, myself and Steve obviously used to be on the PFF NFL podcast, so we departed. We took our show and spooled it up with the 33rd team, so we've rebranded Check the Mic. It's largely the same. A lot of the preview, the review, still covering every game, but we're also doing some cool new segments like us, you know, arguing back against the shouty shows and all that kind of thing. So you can find us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts at Check the Mic.
Yeah, it's really, really great stuff. Sam, again, I can't thank you enough for the time. We'll have to do it again. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk very, very soon. When we come back, we'll be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.